disco.
This ain't no country club neither.
This is RBA.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
Howdy-ho.
To another exciting episode of
Oh La La in the Dungeon,
Season 2,
Episode 27.
And today we have a really cool, wild guest on. But before we introduce him, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about true crime. There's a lot of that going on right now and a lot of watching of it, rehashing. So we're talking about that. We'll be interviewing Tim. Then, Big Daddy, what you got for us?
So, on this episode, I'm going to be talking about some fun facts about snakes and reptiles, which is tied into our guest.
All right. And, of course, upcoming events for the November season, now that we're moving out of Halloween.
Although it feels like summer.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And then, business of the week and band of the week and...
Shout out.
That'll be it.
Yep. So stick around. Listen to it all, please.
Let's introduce our guest.
Yes.
Cool. So on today's episode, we have Tim, a RVA wildlife enthusiast. Ever since Tim was a kid, he has been obsessed with snakes, searching for and ethically capturing them in swamps and forests around Richmond, as well as other reptiles in the South. Tim makes YouTube videos and TikToks documenting his wildlife adventures and educating people about the animals that he runs into. He professionally removes copperheads and wasps from people around the area. He also recently painted his truck like a copperhead, which is super cool. So let us welcome Tim. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show.
Happy to be here.
We know you're hungover, but we'll make it painless.
I'm trying to come back online.
Good.
That's right.
Yeah. Have another drink.
Yeah, a little ranch water.
That ranch water.
Ranch water recovery.
All right, so what's our hot topic?
The hot topic is true crime. So there's been a lot of discussion about this lately. Is watching so much true crime good for you or not? which, is it just a trauma response or just an escape? Because, I've been watching true crime forever, as everyone knows. Matt, I think, has mentioned it, how I fall asleep to Forensic Files.
Especially now it's been SVU.
Yeah, I've switched to SVU.
Wait, what's SVU?
It's the same Law & Order SVU I started at the very beginning.
Special Victims Unit?
Yes. I fall asleep to that.
I'm, addicted to true crime on YouTube. That's all I watch all day long, every day.
Yeah. So, what are y'all's thoughts? Do you think it's good or bad?
I'm just, addicted to anything that's shocking. I can't look away from things that are terrible. Always have been that way. I have to see the terrible things.
So, my opinion is divided. I think it can be good and it can be bad, especially people who have, mental... they may have some mental issues or past traumas. That's probably not a good thing to watch. But, Forensic Files just has, this soothing voice that captivates you. And it feels like you're in a warm blanket.
I know.
It just, puts you to sleep instantly. And Liz can definitely say that's true.
It's her lullaby.
Yeah, I've fallen asleep while before we even get into an episode. What do you think, Tim?
I think that it's not good for you. I don't like to consume dark. Well, if it's fantasy or another world, I don't want to learn about bad stuff that happened in the real world.
Yeah.
Because I think it puts me in a negative headspace. And if I can choose what I'm going to be thinking about, I want to think about more positive or interesting things. But I understand that it's really interesting to some people. I don't know. When I was a little kid, I remember a couple times I would catch some super dark, disturbing documentary about children who murdered someone or things like that, and it was fascinating. You can't look away, but then I would just think it, I kept getting flashbacks in my head of some disturbing fact that was in the show, and it would just creep me out. And I used to be scared that a murderer was going to come into my house.
Me right now.
But now that I'm older, I never think about stuff like that. I think about being prepared for a dangerous situation, but I don't want to I don't want to, you know, I only have limited space in my head. I don't want to like add to it with dark stuff. I'd rather use it for good stuff.
I think that's so true because I feel like it also can manifest in like you're thinking about dark shit and then like it manifests like you... Like, you just have, like, a series of events that are, like, shitty because you're in a shitty mindset.
Yeah, it's true. I think it could go the other way, too. Like you were saying, Matt, like, you could... If you were watching something and it was cathartic, I guess it all depends on the individual, like, what they've lived and how they go about thinking. Because, you know, we all have different ways of working through stuff.
That's true, and it might not... negatively impact someone so severely that it does another person. Like the Menendez thing on Netflix, like it's hilarious, so I feel like it's not putting me in a terrible headspace, and it's terrible what happened, but like then you listen to like something that happened recently and it's like it's gonna happen to me.
It's weird. I don't think it's gonna happen to me. When I was younger, I felt the same way though. Like I would be like so afraid someone was gonna break in and kill me for some reason, and I wasn't even watching murder shows then, but
it was just in your own mind.
It was in my own mind. Probably because my mom let me watch whatever I wanted. Since I watched Dirty Dancing one time, I snuck out and watched Dirty Dancing, and she was like, "That's it, you can watch whatever you want. You've seen it all." That's where the line is drawn, apparently.
I will not watch like horror movies, really.
Really?
Really?
Occasionally, like when I was a kid, you know, I think I went and saw like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or
That's
something.
A scary
like movie. I'd go see like a scary movie like on a date or something.
Yeah.
But I don't want to like watch that when I'm at home relaxing. But also a lot of I'm like, okay, what, some scary, it's scary, oh no, scary, like bad.
Yeah.
It's like I'm like, I already know what's gonna happen. Everything bad will happen.
Yeah. People get murdered. Yeah. Blood.
It's just not, it doesn't excite me that much. And it, if anything, just disturbs me. But I like gritty, raw, like drama. Like I like Vikings.
Or okay,
like,
yeah. We watched some of that. Yeah, that was good.
Do you like Ozark?
I watched Ozark. I actually, you know, the daughter in Ozark is lives in Richmond. She's from here.
Oh,
really? I met her the other
day. We didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, I think I've heard that before.
She, her parents run Millie's or something.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Millie's on near Post Pub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
But yeah, I watched Ozark. My only thing with Ozark is like, I don't know why they made everything in that show is like the same color. Or like,
yeah, it's like really
dimly
blue.
Lit, very like dark. Yeah. Like, it just,
that puts me to sleep.
I'm really visually oriented, and I like that's a big, that's very, how a show looks is like really important to me.
Yeah, and I think they did that intentionally just to, you know,
right,
set the mood.
Right.
But
the
sometimes
whole show.
It's so dark on the screen you can't see.
It
I don't like that.
It makes me feel like I'm like in a daze or like asleep or something. Like going, I don't know. It's weird. But.
Yeah, it's very blue.
Yeah,
if is. I remember completely.
Well, so do you guys, just jumping kind of to a different topic, do you think that they should be released, the Menendez brothers?
I feel like the show paints them in a bad light. It makes them seem like assholes. But
if
like,
you read what's coming out, like the new evidence that they submitted.
Like the show dramatizes them so much, but like the actual, like...
There's a documentary on them on Netflix too. You should look.
But that's what I was saying. That. Like the show paints like a super dramatic, like they seem like jerks. But then when you read about the actual facts from not like the show... I think they should be released. If what's her face got released? What was her name? That girl?
Oh, yeah. The one, God.
What's her name?
Gypsy Rose.
Yeah, Gypsy Rose. Like, what the fuck?
I know. Well, Gypsy Rose was, like, tortured all of her life. So I feel
so
like that
are
was
they.
Kind of, but no, I agree. I think they should get out. I do.
They were brutally raped by their dad.
They've both been good prisoners.
This is a dark episode so far.
I know. Anyway, all right. What do y'all think? Release or not, Tim?
I know a little bit about that, like what you just mentioned, basically. That's kind of the gist of it. I haven't watched any of that. But
yeah.
If they murdered their dad, is it proven that he like was abusive?
Yeah.
Like severely
so
abusive?
So the new evidence that they are allowed to submit is one of the brothers wrote a letter to his cousin before the murders. This was like months before. And in the letter, he's talking about the abuse, the sexual abuse. So that's part of the proof. And then
also the dad had child pornography, like their whole childhood. He would film, like, take pictures of them naked, but not with their face, just with their genitals, and like had a collection of it.
And then the other bit of evidence that they're submitting is the dad, he didn't manage them, but he like backed them with money. Menudo,
he was in the entertainment business.
Was he the founder?
No, he wasn't the founder of Menudo, but he helped pull strings. Produce them, I guess, in some way. And one of the guys has said that he raped him multiple times. And I guess some of the members are corroborating that.
And he had a mistress.
Yeah.
And a wife.
Yeah.
And two boys.
I mean, they were pissed because the mom, like, knew all about it, apparently. So.
Sounds like this guy was up to a lot of no good, and I think that they should be released.
I do too. Yeah. Especially if Gypsy Rose did. That's just not, you can't just pick and choose. Follow the law.
It all depends on the judge too, though. What do you think, babe?
So I think that they should be released if all the, you know, things are true that they're discovering and the evidence was admitted in the previous sentencing. And
it was admitted during the first trial, the second, not the new evidence, but the molesting stuff for them was submitted during the first trial, but the jury was hung. So then during the second trial, the judge didn't allow any of that evidence to be submitted. So the jury couldn't hear any of that.
What age were they when the crime was committed?
They were
18 and 21.
21, yeah. And so in California, if you get a life sentence with parole, you get 30 years, so they would be released already. Because I believe they've been in there, 37 years? So,
damn. That's nuts.
So I think they're going to be released. I think they will.
I hope they do.
Yeah, because like I mentioned to you before, there was a case where like a college-age girl, she murdered her father by poisoning him, and she only got 27 years. So I'm like, how is it fair that she gets that versus they get a life sentence without parole?
Well, justice isn't fair, unfortunately. That's America. All right. Anyway, moving on.
So, Tim, are you from Richmond? If not, what brought you here?
I'm from Richmond. I was born here in the city, and my parents still live in the same house that I lived in my whole life. I was there last night. They had a party.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I grew up in the city, so it wasn't till around I was like 12 or 13 that I got really interested in snakes. But I would always, when I was even a kid, every time we would go anywhere to visit family or anywhere there was woods or any kind of wilderness, I always wanted to just go explore by myself, and I could do it endlessly. All I wanted to do was just go explore and search around. And then I had a dream when I was 12 about snakes. And my birthday was coming up, so I asked for a pet snake. And my parents were like, oh, you sure you don't want a lizard or a turtle or something?
Something that is scary.
But my dad grew up on a farm, and they had pet snakes growing up. So he was like, yeah, that's cool. And so I got a children's python, which is the third smallest species of python in the world.
Children's.
So it was like 3 feet or so. But and my dad's a writer, so he's always in like used bookstores, and every time he would find a book on snakes, he would get it and bring it home for me. So I would read them cover to cover and got totally obsessed and fascinated and would just learn everything I could about snakes. And we'd go out to swamps and go look for them. And it was like just, it kept growing. I kept getting more interested, learning more. And I'm still doing it now. So that was probably like 15 years ago or something.
Your dad sounds really cool.
He is pretty cool. He's in a New Orleans jazz band that he started.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
awesome. Like, he's 71. So he started a band in his late 60s.
Damn,
that's awesome.
And they actually just played a show at my parents' house last night. They had like a New Orleans party.
You're from the city, but you seem so country. So your parents must be country people.
No, they're not at all. Well, no, my dad grew up on a farm. But my mom's from Pennsylvania. She is not at all like that.
Where is she from Pennsylvania?
Harrisburg. The suburbs of Harrisburg, New Cumberland. Do y'all know who Shane Gillis is, the comedian?
No, I don't
know that. Haven't heard of him.
He's like the most popular comedian right now. But he's...
I thought it was Theo Von.
He's really funny. He's like up there with Theo Von. But no, why do I seem country? It's just because it's just an act I put on to be cool. I just think it's cool. I like ever, but again, since I was a little kid, I like always thought country was cool. And like, no, I grew up in the city, but I moved to Florida when I was younger, and I was like doing landscaping down there. I kind of feel like I kind of absorbed certain vibes.
Yeah.
But I'm like that. If I'm around certain energy, I kind of take it on. And then I just liked that vibe, so I kind of stuck with it. But yeah, and I love catching snakes.
So what was the first time you caught a snake? Like,
I remember,
when you were 12 or 13?
I remember, because I was like, I think I know what this one is. Like, it's not harmful. I can catch it. And then I picked it up, and I was like, it was like a thrill. But now I've picked up hundreds and hundreds of snakes, and I've been bitten hundreds of times.
That was one of my questions.
But yeah, so I think that was part of what got me into it, is like the excitement. And then like I started catching bigger snakes, and then I started playing with venomous snakes and catching snapping turtles and stuff like that. I like the thrill of wild animals, but yeah. Like, nothing, I don't know. It's not like I'm really ever endangering myself, I don't think, but I will potentially in the future.
How do you know if a snake is venomous? Are there always signs?
So
it's like the color, right?
Or the head.
Yeah, there's certain telltale signs. I would describe it like this. Someone who's a car enthusiast, if you ask them, how do you tell the difference between a Lamborghini and a Maserati or something? Like, to them, they could tell you, okay, well, the emblem looks different and this looks different, but really their eye just is already used to
telling
just,
the difference.
It's like not even a thought. So when you become familiar with the different species, it's like, the difference between two different people, you're like, okay, that's what that is. I know what that is. But, certain things that you could use if you're not familiar would be, in Virginia at least, all our venomous snakes are vipers. So vipers generally always have big, broad, triangular heads and vertical pupils. And they look more sinister than the non-venomous snakes. Like,
it's
they really
scary
do.
To think about.
But the non-venomous snakes in Virginia have big, round pupils and typically more round heads. They tend to look more derpy.
Oh, you said sense. the non-venomous
ones, yeah.
There was a big one when we first moved in, remember, derpy. On the side of the house one night?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't think we could see the head. We could only see the body. So I'm not sure if it was venomous or not.
So do you have any snakes with you right now?
I don't have any with me right now.
That'd be hilarious if you was like,
I could have brought one in my pocket.
Like, here's one.
So what is the largest snake you've encountered?
In the wild? Nothing that crazy, like probably 5-6 feet. But the biggest snakes I've found I've seen some pretty big timber rattlesnakes in the mountains growing up, and then rat snakes, they can get pretty big. I was in Florida looking for pythons, but I didn't find any. But I did find, we found a Florida rat, like Everglades rat snake down there that was pretty big, and like they're like orange almost. They're really pretty snakes. But I really want to catch a Burmese python. So I've been to Florida twice in the last year, and we went looking for them in the Everglades. But it's kind of certain times of the year are better than others. But I will get on one sooner or later. That's like going to be the biggest snake I've ever caught. And they're not venomous, so if you get bit by a really big one, it can, like, you might need stitches, or it could cause like some kind of severe tissue damage. But that doesn't really scare me. But you just grab them behind the head, and then their mouth kind of opens up, and they're like, and that way they can't.
Is that the noise they make?
They don't really. Snakes don't really vocalize. They hiss. That's all they really do. So
yeah, I see that.
A snake.
Yep.
Snake.
You want to pick up? If you want to pick up a snake, the best way to do it is by the head.
Well, that's with a snake that you're trying to prevent from biting you.
Okay.
So like with the python, if you don't want to get bit by this big snake that's going to like cause you some damage. Or if you were handling a venomous snake, I mean, I don't even recommend handling venomous snakes exactly, but with non-venomous snakes...
Don't worry, I won't.
With non-venomous snakes, I typically just grab them by like the middle somewhere, and oftentimes with a lot of the species, you can kind of read their energy, and they'll be calm, and if you pick them up calmly and handle them gently, a lot of times they won't bite you, they won't try to bite you, they'll just kind of do their thing. So that's what you aim for. because that's the most pleasant experience for you and the snake. But some snakes are just feisty. They have different personalities, especially across certain species. So like the water snakes, for example, that we have at the river in Richmond, the James River, they are like the meanest species in Virginia. They're always going to bite you.
Oh my God.
They're always going to like musk, which is a defense mechanism where they squirt this nasty smelling stuff out.
In the water or just onto you if you
like
pick
if you're
it up.
Picking them up, it'll squirt on your hand and it the stink really like lingers. I think the musk is worse than
is
the
it
bite.
Gross.
Is it like a skunk? That kind
yeah,
of
it's
smell?
Kind of like a skunk. Yes.
So if you're swimming in the James, that snake will swim up and bite you.
No, it won't swim up and bite you. But if you pick it up, it's gonna bite you.
What was the kind again?
A northern water snake.
Northern water snake.
Nerodia cipadon is the Latin name.
The genus,
but they are commonly confused for copperheads or cottonmouths. People at the river will be like, "I saw a cottonmouth," and I'm like, "I don't even like correcting people about it at this point." But they do not make it all the way up to the James. The northern limit for the cottonmouth is near Hopewell, or actually, some people say they're at Dutch Gap, and I found them there once, and that's the northern limit for cottonmouths on the whole East Coast.
What is the difference between a copperhead and a cottonmouth? Are they the same thing?
They are in the same genus. Achistrodon is the name of the genus, but they are different species. So copperheads live all throughout the eastern kind of portion of America, from like New York down to northern Florida, out west to Texas, and then all kind of around the central eastern part of America. Cottonmouths are more the deep south, like places that have swamps. Cottonmouths are sort of semi-aquatic. They spend most of their time in swamps. And copperheads are more terrestrial. Like, they're more kind of in the woodlands. And they're closely related, but the cottonmouth is more venomous.
God, I wish I had a picture of this. It was when I was a little kid, but my great-grandma's house was in Farmville, and they had a creek, and the back porch was screened in. One day we woke up and there were like three copperheads hanging from the screen porch. Like,
wow.
It was crazy. We were screaming.
So both are venomous.
They are both venomous.
Okay.
Yes.
But cottonmouth is more venomous.
Cottonmouth is slightly more venomous than a copperhead. Neither of them are really, would I call them truly deadly? Like, I don't know that anyone's ever been killed by a copperhead.
That's good to know.
Maybe some older people have been killed being bit by cottonmouths, but neither of them are typically deadly. They have hemotoxic venom, which destroys tissue where near the mm-hmm. area they bite. It'll cause a lot of swelling. You could maybe lose a finger or something. Yeah. But they're not typically that severe. Like, if I was to get bit by a copperhead, I wouldn't go to the hospital because antivenom is extremely expensive. So that's what they would administer to you, and it can like put you in complete bankruptcy.
How much is it?
It's like $10,000 for a vial or something.
Oh,
sometimes you'll need like 13 vials.
Wow. Oh my.
So it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh my God.
Have you ever been bitten by a copperhead or
no, I've never been bit by a venomous snake, and I intend to never be bitten by a venomous snake.
Wow. That's incredible.
I don't want to ever feel that. I don't need to feel that. And it's avoidable. Some guys that are really interested in this will be very reckless, and or they'll become like very advanced and knowledgeable and skilled with handling venomous snakes. But if you play with venomous snakes, there's always a risk that you're going to get bitten. No matter how comfortable or confident or skilled you are, there's always that risk. So for me personally, when I'm dealing with venomous snakes, I use hooks or tongs so that I can kind of maneuver them without putting myself into range of their strike, and I'm familiar with how far they can strike, so I will use tools like that to kind of keep them at a distance. I can play with all the non-venomous snakes all I want. I will not free handle is what it's called. So that's like a controversial sort of thing in the snake world, whether or not are you someone who does free handling or not. So certain people, they become comfortable kind of picking up the demeanor of different snakes and reading their energy, and they will free handle venomous snakes, you know, with their hands and play with them and move them around and pick them up. And then there's other people that are like, no, that's reckless. That's dangerous. You shouldn't do that. So, and I don't think I'm not against people doing it if that's what they want to do. I just personally wouldn't want to put myself at that risk.
Can a snake be like a, a pet where they love you, like a dog or a cat?
I would say I don't really believe that reptiles experience love or emotions per se. I think they are more survival, instinctually based animals. So I think they can become familiarized to a human that is their caretaker, but that doesn't equate to like love the way like a mammal, like a dog or a cat, you have that bond with them. But I think there's people that would argue otherwise. I think it's sort of like, as long as the reptile is healthy, it's happy, so to speak. Though I don't, like I said, I don't really think they have emotions like that. I think they're just kind of, are they healthy or are they not? Are their needs being met or are they not? That's kind of how I think about it.
All right, so I've got a question. Were you ever inspired by Steve Irwin?
Or definitely.
Do you have any thoughts on him?
I love Steve Irwin. I grew up watching Crocodile Hunter, and there was a couple other shows like that when I was a kid. Jeff Corwin, and there's other famous snake enthusiasts that I like that I would watch their shows. But yeah, ever since I was a little kid, I was like, I want to do that. I want to have my own show. And now we live in the age where you can, like you guys are doing your own podcast, you can just do your own activities like that. And whereas in the past, you know, you'd have to have a film crew and funding or this or that. Now you can film your own adventures with your iPhone. So I enjoy doing that. But yeah, I'm very inspired by Steve Irwin and all of the different people that kind of had their own shows, teaching, educating, and exploring adventure.
Yeah, wasn't there like a real snake hunter show on like Discovery? I remember that.
Probably. I'm not sure which one.
I remember seeing like dramatizations of people getting bit. Like,
yeah, I remember some shows like that.
So what is the most venomous snake in Virginia?
The most venomous snake in Virginia are timber rattlesnakes. So they used to, like, their range covered the whole state originally. But, you know, during colonization, people would eradicate them where they were settling. Mm. So, like, one thing that they used to do is people would throw dynamite into the rattlesnake dens to blow up.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean,
that seems like overkill.
A lot of people do not like snakes. And I think that's a normal human reaction to, you know, not want venomous snakes around your home. But that did cause them to become eradicated throughout, like, most of Virginia. So their populations are mainly just in the mountains now.
Okay.
There's a small population near the Dismal Swamp, near Virginia Beach, those are called canebrake rattlesnakes. It's sort of a distinction. They look a little different, but they're basically the same species. But yeah, a timber rattlesnake can kill you if you get bit. If you didn't get treatment from a timber rattlesnake, you could die. You could have a heart attack or cardiac arrest.
How fast does their venom work?
Pretty much instantly. I mean, as far as
If you could call 911, would you be able to be saved?
Yeah. No, not like that. If you got treatment, you would probably be fine. Like the antivenom that they have it's called Crofab is the name of the antivenom, but because the genus for rattlesnakes is Crotalus. But yeah, you'd be okay with treatment generally. It's rare that people die if they do receive treatment. There was actually a well-known snake researcher. I forget what his name is, but I think just in the last year he got killed by a timber rattlesnake that he was working with. And he was older, but yeah, their venom is pretty serious. And the two other venomous snakes are the copperheads and the cottonmouths that we're talking about. So we just have three venomous snakes in Virginia.
Are there rattlesnakes in Richmond?
No, there would have been historically, but they've probably been eradicated for at least 100 years.
We've chased them all away.
So that's a good thing. We're killing everything.
What's your opinion on the dynamite rattlesnake
thing? I don't support it. No, I think
that's mean. What would you think we should have done?
I think we should have just, I mean, personally, I think we just should learn to live with snakes, but I don't fault the people in that time for doing that.
They can be good for your area, right?
Yeah,
they can be.
Snakes are actually good for animal population control, you know, with rats rodents.
And even insects, right? Do they eat insects?
Some smaller species of snakes eat insects.
Okay.
This might be a really dumb question, but what animals eat snakes?
A lot of animals will eat snakes. Birds oftentimes, birds of prey. Herons, you'll see. I think I've seen herons eating snakes at the river. Cormorants, maybe too. But yeah, predatory birds. Down further south, alligators. But even probably foxes and coyotes and really any predatory animal that wants to will generally eat snakes. Also, there are a lot of snake on snake predation.
Ooh.
So a lot of snakes will eat other snakes.
That sounds sexy.
Right? So are you doing this like full time? You're catching snakes, or are you doing
not full time? I do part time environmental compliance inspection. So okay. I go around construction sites and kind of inspect their erosion sediment prevention measures. Okay.
I know all about that.
I'm a civil engineer,
okay. So I put the plans together where I'm like, you need a sediment trap here or whatever.
Yep. It can be somewhat boring, but also somewhat interesting. I enjoy it for the most part, but I've been doing it for like a year. And then the rest of the time I do landscaping on my own, but I will do copperhead removals for people whenever they request it. I probably did like half a dozen this summer.
Okay.
And then probably more frequently than that, I do the wasp removals.
So that sounds scary. I hate wasps.
I just started doing it randomly. I think people kind of caught on to that. I like knew my way around snakes, and they were like, will you take out a bee's nest? And I was like, okay. And so I didn't really know what I was doing.
As well.
I still kind of don't know what I'm doing, but I will, like, when I first started, I would just like put on a hoodie and like a bandana around my face and sunglasses and a hat and gloves and boots and like get the wasp spray. They sell it at Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah, I've done that before where you just carefully aim at the wasp nest and, you know, hope.
When you say goodbye, I'll show you. We have a, I think it's a dirt dauber nest right above the front door. Okay. We need to get rid of that.
But yeah, so I'll just, if there's like a nest in a tree or something, I'll just douse it with the spray, which will also, it kind of subdues them. Like it will kill them, but if they're not dead right away, they get kind of in a daze and subdued. So they're not like coming to go sting you. And then the spray will also kind of destroy the nest material and break it down. So I'll do that, and then I will, like, knock it out of the tree, or just basically sometimes they're growing on the side of a house, and I have to kind of, like, hose off the material to break it all down. But I've done a bunch of those, and I've never really gotten stung.
Wow.
The bald-faced hornets, I did a lot of those. I've done them in, like, the roofs of, like, the ceiling of a home, like, somebody had a finished garage kind of with like a upstairs
it was
in the ceiling. It was like a large nest inside the ceiling, so I had to kind of open that up and like spray pull all the nest material out into like a bucket. And then recently I had to do a ground nest, so yellow jacket nest in the ground.
Awful.
yeah and so it was like a little cloud of them hovering over the hole in the yard.
I saw the video of it.
Oh, yeah, you probably did. So I spent like an hour digging, and they just kept, I was killing them with the spray. I was whacking them with a shovel, and they kept, this cloud of yellow jackets kept like respawning every time I'd get rid of like a dozen of them. There'd be more. Probably hundreds, if not a thousand.
Sounds like a nightmare.
And the thing is, if you like irritate the nest, they will swarm you and you will get stung hundreds of times.
Well, I was irritating the heck out of them, and I got stung like three times.
Did you have like a suit on or anything?
No, because I've gotten so relaxed about it now because I never get stung. So this time I wasn't wearing anything. I did get stung like three times just because I was like blatantly just standing over their nest for like an hour, like whacking with a shovel. But I finally, after like an hour, found the nest in the ground. It was like a basketball sized nest. So I dug that out and then I'd like bury it.
So I guess some people are just unlucky getting stung.
I guess it's like, if you trigger them a certain way, I don't know why these ones weren't.
You're a bee charmer.
So what's your opinion on killing the bees?
I don't really have that much sympathy for the bees, to be honest.
Good.
I don't really sympathize with insects too much. I'm not against them, but if it's in somebody's yard, you don't want that in your yard.
I think honeybees and bumblebees are okay.
I would never encourage somebody to like try to eradicate the honeybees in their yard. You want the honeybees, and they don't come after you.
And the bumblebees are so cute. They're like little flying fuzzballs.
I know. They're like big dogs.
I love seeing those. I like want it when it's a pet.
So I want to talk about your social media presence. And so Are there like other kind of groups where specifically they hunt snakes and reptiles? And
yeah. So we're, the community for that is called herping or herpetology. Well, herpetology is the study of reptiles and amphibians. So people would call the activity of searching for them herping, like fish. It's like fishing, basically. But so when I was a kid, I thought I was like the only person that knew, was so fascinated and knew all the information that I knew. And then social media came out and I started to realize, oh, there's tons of people that are just as into this as I am. And since then, I've like, you know, I follow a ton of people on the internet that are into this and communicate with them. And you kind of, everybody shares their finds. And some people are really oriented towards like the photography. They like to take nice photos of snakes or whatever reptiles they find. Some people are more like making videos and educational information or just kind of showing off the adventure of it. And that's kind of what I'm into. I just want to like showcase the adventures.
Have you met up with any of the people you've met online?
I did like a podcast like this with one guy. And then have I met up with any of the people I met off the internet? That's what I'm trying to think of. I don't think so. I've talked about it though. I have a bunch of like internet snake buddies that we've talked about getting up.
Because I see you going on these like trips. Like I saw you went to Florida. You said you go to Florida quite a bit, and then you're going to Costa Rica.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask about
that. So like, who are the people?
They will have snakes there.
Well, yeah. Who are the people that you do
mainly?
These
my, my best friend. He's my roommate, Wilson. We met each other like 3 or 4 years ago, and we met hanging out, going to like Grateful Dead concerts and stuff. But then we realized that we were both into snakes, so we started doing that together. And now we live together. We've got a room at our house dedicated to snakes. And we go out every time. We're kind of on board together with this vision that we have of making content. And like, we want to create business. Basically, we'd like to get into like ecotourism, like taking people, like we're trying to blow up our social media and get popular on the internet so that we don't have to have regular jobs. And we just want to travel and go find all the snakes and get a cool property in Florida or like some other country and have like animals.
That's
and all that
really
kind of
cool.
stuff.
Costa Rica would be a good place. Have you been before?
No, I've never been.
Oh my God. It's one of our favorite places.
I'm really excited. This is my first like time ever going to the tropics, and all my life I've always just wanted to go explore the jungle. That's
so
like
we found out in Costa Rica, especially during the rainy season, there are a lot of bugs.
And a lot of snakes, I'm sure.
And so we stayed in this house and we were just spraying ants the whole time.
We'd always gone during the dry season, like in January. So we've been 3 times, and this was in May a couple years ago, and it was a totally different experience.
So I'm confident you can find some good snakes there.
Yeah. Yeah. When are you going?
December like 9th through
the 23rd.
So like 2 weeks.
That'll
be
awesome.
First, we're going down to Miami for like a week, and we're going to Art Basel.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
It's this big art festival they have in Miami.
Tons of celebrities go.
Well, I make paintings, and we made an NFT collection.
Ooh, fun.
I saw your paintings. They're really cool.
Thank you. And my buddy is super into crypto, and so that's all. It's sort of like where all that stuff kind of comes together. So
right.
We want to go down there and network, and he has all these internet friends for that he's never met in real life. So it's going to be like a party, but also an opportunity to meet people.
Sounds like our vibe.
I know, right? So where can we follow you guys?
So Instagram is timbred_scsm. And then my buddy is illwill_scsm. But snakes can't see me. That's like our moniker,
ooh,
I guess you
like
could
it.
Say. Or our brand. So that's the YouTube channel. If you search that hashtag, it like pulls up a lot of our stuff. And I'm not like super popping yet on the internet or anything. I got like 1,400 Instagram followers.
That's pretty
followers.
Good, though.
That's pretty good.
More than us.
Well, I grew a lot after I painted my truck. That got like 500,000 views on Instagram.
Wow. That's
so
cool.
That's awesome.
That got me like
did
400
you bring,
followers.
Did you drive your truck?
Yeah, it's outside.
Okay,
we'll
go, take
we'll
have to go
by,
take pics.
Yeah.
But the Costa Rica trip. So how did you, how are you doing that? Like, are you staying with like a group?
We really haven't planned anything. All we did is buy flights there.
All right.
And when we get there, we're going to rent a car and probably just, Costa Rica is like the size of Virginia, but it has the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, different, both coasts. So we'll probably drive around the whole country and just go explore wherever sounds like the best spots. There's also this app called iNaturalist where people will post pins with like a photo of a snake they found.
Yeah.
So you can search like a snake you're looking for and it will pull up pins where people have found it. So we use that a lot when we're like exploring or visiting new places to get an idea of where what we're looking for is, and then we'll just go to wherever those pins are showing up.
That's gonna be so cool, I bet.
It's very exciting. We're gonna lose our minds out there. So
can you bring snakes back?
Not really, I don't think. I mean, there's probably ways to do it, but we have some that we keep at our house, but it's more just ones that like buddies kind of gave to us. I personally am not super into keeping. Not that I have like anything against it. Yeah. It kind of bores me, and I don't really want the responsibility of like taking care of animals. Right. So I just really like the catch, the thrill of the search, the capture, the getting the clip, like
figuring out what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And like nothing gets me more excited than finding something I've never found before, or exploring somewhere I've never been to find snakes I've never found. Like that's what, cause I get kind of bored of the stuff around town. I've kind of found everything mostly here. Nothing gets me more excited than being out in the wilderness somewhere exploring and like, what can I find? What's out here? And then finding it, I'm like, oh my goodness.
That's good. You're going to
go on that La Fortuna hike. We went on one, and you're in like waist deep mud. I'm sure you'll find some stuff.
Okay, so that's when we were low on the iNaturalist.
Yeah.
That was where all the pins were.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, we were like, all right, we got to go to Fortuna. Yeah. I think it's close to Arenal, the volcano.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah. So yep. I know there's like a thermal river in Costa Rica. I'm going to go there.
We did a rafting thing that was really cool. So I know you'll find lots of stuff. We saw lots of crocodiles. Like the guy had us hide chicken in our book bag. He was feeding the crocodile.
Yeah, you're not supposed to bring chicken or food.
This was the guy,
park.
Though. It wasn't me. He made me do it.
Mm-hmm. You put a chicken, but, like a live chicken?
No.
Oh, okay. It was like,
God, it was like pieces of chicken, but raw.
So anyway, guys, I think we're gonna wrap up this segment.
Yeah, we're running out of time. Yeah. But
I still have so many questions. But
I know.
That's okay. We can. How about if
we're
y'all
have
want
to have a part?
You can have me back on after Costa Rica.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But that was good. I'm glad I made it through because I was very hungover earlier. But
you know, I feel okay. You wouldn't be the first one.
And after this, I'm gonna go home and take it real easy.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank
but
you
I really
so much
appreciate
for
you guys having me on. This
of
was fun.
Of course. Yeah.
We still have a little bit more left.
Okay.
So.
All right. So hang
in there.
It's time. For you to
drop it on us, Big Daddy.
All right. So on this episode, like I mentioned, we're going to talk about some snake and reptile fun facts. And
Tim, you can jump in.
Yeah, Tim,
first
fact check them.
The first fun fact is constrictor snakes don't actually suffocate their prey. They reduce its blood flow and cause cardiac arrest.
And interesting. I never had that before.
Male snakes actually have two penises, while female snakes have two clitori.
Oh.
The penises are called hemipenes.
That's a cute name.
They're like spiky. They're like these weird little pink like appendages, and they can like pop one or the other out at a time. I found sometimes when you catch snakes, they'll pop them out. Not often. It's always weird for you. But sometimes also, when they die, if you find one that's like hit by cars, or one time I found all these snakes that had been, they had done a controlled burn at this swamp I go to. And there was like three of these king snakes all within 20 feet of each other that had all basically been smoked.
Oh, wow.
But one of them had its hemipenes out.
I got both of them
and
out
so
tonight,
you might,
ladies.
You might be asking, why do they have two hemipenes? And so I did some research into this. If one penis runs out of sperm, the other can continue to mate. And in intense mating competitions, snakes can mate on either side of the female.
So it's like an Italian sandwich or an Eiffel Tower situation.
I was trying to picture this scenario in my head. And is it like where they're just in a big snake pit and they're like trying
around like an orgy?
Have you ever seen that?
No, I've never seen that, but that is a thing. There's a place in Canada where the garter snakes all, I think, come out to breed in like spring or something, and they'll like be that like hundreds, if not thousands, wriggling around together.
It's like an orgy of snakes, and you've never seen snakes breed.
I've never seen it in the wild, or even someone having it in captivity. But I mean, that would be really cool to see. It's rare. The most common thing, like interesting behavior I'll see with snakes is whatever they're eating. So I've seen them like catching fish or oftentimes I'll find garter snakes that are eating toads. And so what the toads will inflate themselves to kind of try to prevent getting eaten, but it is almost always futile. But what I've seen a couple times is where this garter snake will be complete, like have its whole, this whole toad in its mouth, but the toad's limbs, like arms and legs are still out, and the toad will be hopping around and dragging the snake,
really?
The entire snake,
that's interesting.
Trying to escape.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild.
All right, so moving on to our next fun fact. Sea snakes don't actually drink seawater. Instead, they drink rainwater, which is, you know, never really thought about that. There are over 3,700 different species of snakes worldwide, making them the second largest group of reptiles after lizards. Mm. Snakes are ectotherms, meaning that they rely on their environment to regulate their body temperature. Snakes don't hibernate. Instead, they enter a state of reduced activity called brumation, similar to hibernation during colder months. When temperatures drop and days get shorter, reptiles seek a warm, safe place to slow their metabolism and conserve energy. Snakes hatch using an egg tooth, which is a temporary tooth on the tip of their snout.
Oh, that's cute.
So the babies.
Snakes are generally solitary creatures, preferring their own company to socializing with other snakes. Unlike many other animals, snakes don't have a strong sense of territory. They'll happily share their space with other snakes.
Just not me.
Snakes,
maybe, I don't know.
Are strictly carnivores and eat their prey whole. Their flexible jaw gives them the ability to swallow large prey, an important feature which only a few meals per year may be eaten. Snakes don't have external ears, but they can sense vibrations through the ground. And snakes don't have eyelids. Instead, they have a transparent scale that covers their eyes, protecting them from dirt and debris. And reptiles are one of the oldest groups of vertebrates on Earth, which fossils dating back to 300 million years. And the saltwater crocodile is the largest reptile in the world. So that concludes Drop It On Us Big Daddy.
Thanks, Daddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
All facts.
All facts. All right.
Good.
He can't
straight
refute
facts.
Him.
Good job.
All right.
Matt. All right.
We got some events coming up.
We do. You want to go first?
Sure. Sure. I'll go first. So Andre 3000 is coming. Whoop, whoop.
I did not know that. I'm so excited. Freaking love him.
And this is very appropriate for this episode. He will be with Serpent with Feet. At the Altria on November 8th.
Man, serpents ain't got feet.
Serpent with
they
feet.
Do, they have
all right,
penises.
That is not a fact. Maybe it's his. Their hurt peens. They're walking on them. That's how big they are. No. They'll be at the Altria on November 8th. Doors open at 7 and tickets start at $45.
Damn, that's pretty good to see Andre 3000.
I know. But it'll be mainly the new album that he just dropped.
Well, that'd still be really cool.
No, it would. But I would hope he would throw in a little Outkast.
Well, you know. He
I
would.
Love Outkast.
I know.
Me too.
So good. Also, Gwar, our most recent guest. Woo!
Check out that episode, you guys.
Yes, check it out. We'll be at the National as well on the next night, November 9th. They're playing with Cancer Bats and Squid Pisser. Doors open at 7 and it starts at 8. Tickets are only $30.
Wait, so when is that?
That's November 9th.
Okay, so that's going to be like right after the election?
2.5 weeks.
So you know
yeah.
they're going to have
yeah,
some
they are.
Crazy skit going on.
Oh, they told us
like,
they have some.
Yeah, they
whoever,
talked about it.
Regardless who yeah. it is, going to be like they're chainsawing each other's heads off.
Someone's going to die.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
I think a couple people might die.
Yeah, I think what they said is that they killed, you know, all the competitors in this election and then all the past presidents and then they eventually declared them president
themselves.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You all know how like in the Simpsons they like the presidents like, take their
yeah.
masks off and they're like aliens.
They're
maybe Gwar's been running the show all along.
That's
gonna be the big reveal that we're all waiting for.
just these monsters.
I think we'd all be cool with that. I think I at this point, people would be like, hey, we'll just
Guar the world. The funny thing is, it wouldn't even be shocking.
It wouldn't be that much different.
No. It's always the same.
All right, what else we got?
Me? Okay, so in college, I used to love this band, and I forgot about them. Baby Metal is playing at the National on November 16th at 8 p.m. And if you don't know them, there are three Japanese girls who sing on top of extremely heavy music, and it's really cool.
Baby Metal's sick. I've seen their videos.
Give me chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're very interesting.
Yeah. So
some good stuff at the National.
That should be
out.
A good time. I'm gonna go
We're
gonna
live at the National.
And if you didn't know, Garden Glow at Maymont has begun. So grab your tickets, they're on Facebook, and discover the unexpected at Maymont. It's through October 16th, so it has started, and it ends November 10th. It's $18 for adults, $14 for kids, and $0 for babies.
Can I dress as a baby and get in my
Can I just be a baby?
I've never been. Yeah,
you should do it.
I think I did it. Yes, I don't remember. I did it yesterday. I did it last year.
You did it yesterday.
Okay, and then also don't forget, we keep saying Fetch a Cure is going to be going on November. What is it?
Your most auspicious day.
My birthday. That's right.
Daddy's birthday for Pets on Parade in the auction. So you should go and support animals who have cancer.
Yeah, it supports cancer research for pets. So we got to support that.
So
you must.
Come on out. Buy a table.
What is our business of the week, Olivia?
The business of the week is my boyfriend's pet groomer. Her name is Summer Brianna, and her business is Summer Brianna Pet Grooming. Are you looking for a trusting professional pet groomer? Well, Craig, my boyfriend, has a Pomeranian named Izzy, and she's always looking fabulous, thanks to Summer. Summer does everything from shelter to vet grooming to standard breed cuts, baths, and nail trims. She also does pet-safe hair coloring and nail painting, which is so fun. And she always puts a pink heart on Izzy's butt, and I think it's really cute.
Oh, how cute.
Oh, my gosh, she does nail painting.
I love Pomeranians.
Oh, me too. They're really so smart.
I think they can be feisty.
Oh, she's feisty, but she's sweet. She's
one
she's
of my
both.
Friends got attacked by them.
Well, she wasn't behaving. But anyway, another service that Summer offers is home grooming for people who can't go to the salon, like older people who can't drive anymore.
What if you have an elderly dog?
Yeah, that too. House? Yep, that
so
too.
So she could come to Boudreaux here.
Yes, but those spots fill up quickly, so you got to do it way in advance. Mm-hmm. And also, Summer works with Carytown Petco Grooming Salon, so book her now by adding her on Facebook at Summer Brianna, and that's SummerBrianna, not like Summer with two M's, but Summer with one M. And also contact Carytown Petco Grooming Salon for appointments and pricing.
All right. Next, our band of the week is Carbon Leaf. I'd kind of forgotten about these guys, but
they're still alive and kicking.
I know. Originally formed as a college cover band in 1992. Sorry, that's our favorite.
It's a rave weird song
from 1992. They have over they played over 3,500 shows together. Which is kind of wild.
That's a lot.
They helped define the aughts indie rock. They're comprised of frontman Barry Privet, guitarist Gary Clark, bassist John Marco, and drummer Jesse Humphrey. They're currently touring after releasing Time is the Playground. It's their first full-length album in a decade.
Wow.
Yes. So, guess what? They're coming to our favorite spot, where?
The National.
That's right. They'll be there on December 21st. So I'm giving y'all a lot of advanced warning. They're from Richmond, y'all. I mean, we got to support them.
Usually they play on Browns Island, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's cold now. So.
Yeah. They don't do concerts this time of year. It's so cold. Just kidding. So anyway, it's on December 21st at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. Tickets are a steal at $23 to make you holla.
Holla.
Yeah, that's actually not too bad. I mean, for a band that's been a
I mean, they have over like 3.2 million followers. Yeah. So,
damn.
Carbon Leaf, if you're listening,
hi. Share this. No. Come on the podcast.
Yeah, come on the podcast. Please, we'll interview you at the National if we have to.
Shout outs, you guys. Shout out to Tim first. Thank you so much again for coming
Thank
on.
Thank you, guys. This is fun. I'm glad I showed up.
Yeah, we'll have you back on for post
Costa Rica fun.
If I make it back.
Yeah.
Well,
if you want to come back, if you're going to want to stay,
you might disappear.
Pura vida, baby.
Pura vida.
Shout out to snakes.
Snakes.
Shout out to what they call the peeny what?
Herpene. Herpene. Herpene.
I don't know. Not herpene.
If I post TikToks and I hashtag herpene, I get like spam comments that's like, Dr. So and so cured me of my herpes.
Not that kind of herpes.
But snakes can get herpes. There's reptile herpes.
Ooh.
Can you get a herpes from snakes, like a human?
I don't think so. I would hope that there would be nobody.
That would be interspecies herpes.
Yeah, you never know. This is a weird episode. Okay, I keep saying weird things. Okay, anyway, shout out to Summer Brianna Pet Grooming.
I keep thinking you're going to say Summer Breeze, like the
Summer Breeze.
Yeah. Makes me feel fine.
Shout out to Baby Metal, Garden Glow, Guar,
Andre 3000.
Yeah, Andre 3000. Fetch a Cure, Main Street Station.
Shout out to Netflix for churning out a lot of true crime shit.
I know. It's really good. I love the show, but
turn it off.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Screw it up with my
we'll
head.
Try, well, we're already fucked, so.
We are.
We cray. But anyway. Love everyone. Big Daddy, you got some shout outs?
Yeah, so speaking of true crime, this happened to me recently. And shout out to the VCU police who recently arrested a trespasser.
They got arrested?
Yeah, so they recovered my stolen work laptop bag.
And, without the laptop.
Yeah, unfortunately the laptop wasn't inside and it's still being investigated. So people out there, don't steal my shit.
Or mine.
Or anyone's shit.
Yeah, so the story is I was on a bridge doing some measurements and I just temporarily placed my bag down and walked across the bridge and by the time I came back, it was missing.
Well, I'm glad that
can't
it's being
lay shit down around here.
No, it's just gone.
Take your shit with you guys. Don't leave it anywhere.
All right. Stop stealing RVA.
All right, guys, we love you. Follow us on our social media accounts at olala_RVA and check out our website.
And we'll be back with a new episode in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Do we have a guest or a mystery guest?
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Mystery, okay. So
a mystery that needs to be solved.
Indeed.
So, guys, out there, keep listening and drop us some comments.
And we hope you had a good Halloween.
Yes.
A spooky Halloween.
We are. I know it.
All right. Love you.
All right. Ciao. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Until next episode.